And if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're actually going to look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul begins chapter 8 by talking about the churches of Macedonia. Paul had recently been to Macedonia, and he talks a little bit about his visit there in chapter 7. Corinth is in Greece. It's in the southern part of the region. That part is known as Achaia. And Macedonia is in the northern part of Greece and includes such cities as Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica. So here's what Paul tells us concerning the churches in Macedonia. Let me read the first seven verses. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency, that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Now, in this passage, there are four mentions of the word grace. And in this particular instance, grace is used as an expression in emphasizing the freedom of giving. There is a genuine willingness on the part of these committed Christians to give. And you know what it was? It was the grace of God. And the thing about these people, these fellows and sisters and brothers from Macedonia, now there were several churches involved there, is that they were in a terrible affliction. That's what the Word of God tells us. And that affliction, I believe, had to do with the fact that the people of Macedonia in these various cities were squeezing them harder and harder because of their devotion to Christ. And then secondly, they were very poor. They were an impoverished people. And so Paul comes to Macedonia, and he visits these brothers and sisters in Christ, and in spite of their trial, in spite of the extreme poverty they were experiencing, it says in verse 4, it says, they implored us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, here they are. They're in Macedonia. They're being oppressed. They're being afflicted. And they are, as I said just a moment ago, they're very poor. And yet they want to participate in this special gift that Paul is compiling. Now, this gift was a gift that was destined to go to brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Things had been going badly in Jerusalem, and there was much, much poverty. And so Paul was going to different churches, and he was asking these churches for contributions, and they were going to send a sizable gift to Jerusalem. Now, that wasn't the reason he came to Macedonia. He can't come to collect for a gift. And yet, when he got there, they knew about the gift, and they begged, they implored him, "We want to be a part of this." And, you know, Paul's, he's thinking, wow, you can't afford this. I mean, you're barely making it. I mean, again, I just want to emphasize that they were in very impoverished circumstances, and yet they said, "Listen, we want to be a part of this gift." Now, it's kind of interesting. Paul says, in verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So the situation, again, their situation is very dire, particularly financially. They don't have anything to give. That's the reality. They don't have anything to give, and yet they wanted to give. They prayed. They gave themselves to the Lord. They said, "Lord, we belong to you. We're looking forward to what you're going to do." And then they said to Paul, "Okay, we're going to give this gift." And, you know, it really ministered to Paul. And Paul thinks, you know, I'm going to use what happened in Macedonia as these churches who had nothing. They were dirt poor. They're giving to this special gift that's going to Jerusalem. I'm going to use it for means of illustration to the people in Corinth. Now, what was going on with the people in Corinth? Well, if you've been in these studies, you know that in a sense, Paul had recently, come back into a situation of fellowship. They had actually turned their backs on Paul for a while. They believed lies about Paul. And it was a very intense time, and there was a lot of prayer. Paul had sent this rather strong letter of rebuke to them through Titus, and God blessed, and they repented. The church repented, and so Paul now is writing to them and following up on some of the things that had happened, and explaining his situation. And here in chapter 8, he mentions what happened with Macedonia, and he's thinking, I'm going to use this to get these people in Corinth to get on the stick and send their portion of the gift that they had promised. Now, the people in Corinth, they'd promised to be a part of this gift over a year ago. And yet, though they had spoken great and wonderful things, we're going to be a part of this, and we encourage other churches to be a part of it, they had said the right things, they just hadn't done anything. A year had gone by, and the gift had not been put together and sent to Paul. So actually, they're not sending it to Paul. Where are they sending it? They're sending it to Jerusalem, right? And nothing had happened. So Paul says, I want you to abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. Now, again, the Macedonians, they had nothing to give, yet they believed that Christ wanted them to give, and if Christ wanted them to give, then he would provide for them and care for them. And here is what their motivation for giving is rooted in. They had given their lives to the Lord Jesus, and because they had given their lives to him, everything else belonged to him as well, including their money. You see, if you give everything to the Lord, that obviously includes our money. If our lives are not our own, but they belong to the Lord, then everything belongs to God. Bottom line is this: God really can't have your hearts without your money. Now, I read somewhere a short time ago that many people spend 50% of their time thinking about money. I don't spend that much time, but, the statistics said that some people spend that much time. And, money's kind of an interesting thing. You know, I've heard people say, don't mess with my money. You know, I've heard Christians say that, but they don't say don't mess with God's money. They say don't mess with my money. And, you know, I think sometimes have a problem thinking that our money belongs to God just as much as anything else is. If we have given our lives to God, we've given everything to God. And, you know, in verse 9, Paul reaches for the highest example. There's a lot of examples, but he says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich before he became a man. He walked the streets of heaven, the ivory palaces, his wealth knew no bounds, but yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Every one of us today who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior is rich in him. And one day in eternity we'll experience the vast riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. Now, we live here. This world is, I've watched it over the course of my life, particularly my life in the ministry. There's a tremendous struggle going on. A spiritual battle is being waged. And, you know, there are many people who, they're not only away from the Lord, they don't know the Lord, and they don't want to know the Lord. They have listened to the lies of the devil. And it's very important that we maintain our focus in this world to not just be successful in a material kind of way. We are here to alert the world that Jesus is coming back, and it's very important that people repent and give their lives to the Lord. I mean, that's what we are called to do. So, it's very important that we understand that when we give our lives to the Lord, we give everything to the Lord, including our money. Now, we know that a weekly offering was taken in the Corinthian church. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that every Sunday an offering was taken. That custom is extended for 2,000 years right up till the present time. And they received this offering. And I want to talk a little bit about our Sunday morning offerings and what God expects for us to put in the offering. Now, there is not an exact percentage given in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, there is. God told his people, the Jewish people, that they were to give 10%. Now, that 10% is, we call it the tithe. That means a tenth. There is an interesting, there are several interesting references to it in the Old Testament. There's one reference that is very well known. It's in Malachi chapter 3. The children of Israel had stopped tithing. They had gotten away from that practice, and the Lord was encouraging them, and he said to them, you know, if you give the tithe, you watch what happens. I will expand the money that you bring in from your crops and so forth, and so people have focused on the tithe is a way that God blesses, and he does bless. But nevertheless, the Bible does not give a specific amount that we are to give. I personally believe that the tithe is a good place to start if you can afford it. One reason the Bible doesn't give a place to start is because there are people that come to the Lord and they come out of great poverty. They have nothing to give, and God doesn't expect us to give anything. However, our giving is an expression of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he, in fact, will be faithful to prosper us, not just financially, but across the board, as we are faithful to give to him. Now, I'll just say a word about my giving, the giving of Sally and I. I don't check on individual giving. I have nothing to do with that. The only time I touch an offering plate is when I put my tithe or my offering in the offering plate. We have people here that are very gifted and skilled at not only counting the money, but administering the money in such a way that we can not only pay for the bills that surround the church and the operation of the church, we're able to give to other ministries, other missionaries, and so forth. We're blessed at what God is able to do through the giving of this body. Now, my wife and I, we were married a few years ago, more than a few years ago, and the first 7 years of our marriage, I had a great job. Sally taught in the LA Unified School District. We were doing well. Really, tithing was not a problem for us. We did it. I don't know that we were very careful and meticulous, but we tithed. And then a very interesting thing happened. I stopped by to talk to my pastor, and I actually talked to him about a business proposition that we were evaluating in the company that I was with, and I just wanted to see what he had to think, what he thought about it. And at the end of the conversation, he said, "Why don't you just forget all of that and come on staff with us?" And I was just totally shocked. I thought, what? Did I hear him right? Yeah, but he wasn't kidding. He wanted me to leave a very well-paying job and come on staff at Calvary Chapel. And, I was so excited. I didn't think my wife would be excited, but I was excited. God was calling me. I knew it. And so I went home and I told Sally, and I remember she was washing the dishes. She was just standing there and I told her, and she said, "Oh, praise the Lord." And I thought, wow. So we, it took a little while. That wasn't what the management at the company said, but we worked it out. And I guess I should tell you, the management of the company was my father. And he came around. But anyway, we embarked on this wonderful course. It wasn't always easy. I didn't even think twice about it. But we would be getting about a little more than a third of what we had been getting before. So, but to me, it was no problem. We had three little kids. Two of those kids were about to start in a Christian school, but we figured the Lord's going to take care of it. The Lord did take care of it, but there were significant trials along the way. But we continued to tithe, we continued to be faithful to the Lord. We were on staff there, and then many of you know the story. I was invited to this Baptist church in North Long Beach. It happened to be right here in this church. We were told about a ministry called Release Time Education. I thought, this is too good to be true. There must be something that's illegal about it, but it was. It had been before the Supreme Court. Release Time was a legitimate ministry, but the Release Time program here in Long Beach was going through some hard times, and Sally and I got involved, and before we knew it, we were in charge of the program, and I left my position at Hosanna, and this was not a paying job, Release Time. In fact, they were in debt, but God had worked out some ways for us to get by, and we continued to do the work of the ministry. This time we were in Release Time, and it was such an I'm tempted to tell you a little bit about when we went into Release Time. The population of the school district was bigger than it had ever been before because they had brought many Asian kids into the district that had come from Vietnam and other southeastern countries, and there was just such a rich opportunity to minister, and that opportunity continued for 3 or 4 years. We had thousands of kids in Release Time. It was incredible, and then we kept the ministry was we finally moved it, but it was here for several years. It was here in this church, and I got acquainted with a pastor, and I said, you know, you should become a Calvary Chapel, because that's all I knew, you know. And I said, you know, if I'm a Calvary Chapel, you should become a Calvary Chapel. Well, he didn't want to become anything. He wanted to get out. The church was going down. There were just, I remember he invited me to come here one Sunday and speak about Release Time. We were shocked. I mean, there were maybe 15 people here in the sanctuary. And so, you know, we eventually became the pastor of Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. And that was and continues to be just a great adventure of faith. And we've been so blessed as to what God has done and what God is going to do. And let me just say, while I'm talking about this, that, I don't know how much longer I'll be here, hopefully a while, but, I am getting older, and but I'm praying that there will be a time in our experience as a church where we will send missionaries from this place, from this church, out to other countries to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not only praying about that, we're looking at a few people who've expressed interest, and there are things happening. And we're praying that not only will this ministry continue to expand, not only will this ministry continue to be the ministry that God has called it to be for this sector of Southeast LA County, but that we will eventually be able to send out missionaries right out of this church that this church supports. And I believe that God can do it because he's done it many, many times in many other churches. Why not us? And so I want to see God do that. But God has been faithful to Sally and I. I no longer draw a salary here. God is just blessed, and I can only attribute that to God's sovereign grace in our lives. Now, I want you to turn over to chapter 9, and in verse 6 it says this: "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. We have never, I know I have never, and I'm the pastor of the church, we've never asked you for money. We've never said, oh my goodness, we have this crisis in the church, and we need to collect some more money. We've never taken more than one offering for service. Actually, after this service, we are going to take. No, I'm just kidding. God has always been faithful, and I believe that as you, the body of Christ, understand the importance of living out your faith by increasing the amount of money that you give, whether it's an increase of 5% to 7%, whether it's an increase of 7% to 8%, whether it's an increase of 8% to 10%, God will bless this church. As you give more money, God will enhance the opportunities that we have to reach into this community, and not only to reach into this community, but to reach places that maybe we can't even formulate in our own minds. I've been in different places all over the world, and I know places firsthand experience that need someone to come alongside and to start up a church. And I believe that we can have the opportunity to do that. But it's going to take first of all, saying, Lord, use me. Let me see, your vision for what you have, not only for this immediate area, but for the surrounding area and for the world at large. And I believe that as we look to the fields that are white unto harvest. I mean, there is so much that we can do. Yeah, I realize that, here in North Long Beach, here in LA County, it's a battle. It's a battle. There are people who have turned their backs on the Lord. And we'll continue to labor. I'll continue to preach and teach the Word of God. But, there are places where they're begging for someone to come and say, teach us. We want to learn. We know something about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to grow. We need someone to come and teach us the Word. We need to start a church. We're available to do that. Now, availability is one thing, ability is something else, but I believe that God can do that work in and through us that makes it possible. And when I say us, I'm talking about you right here. I'm talking about first and second service. We can ignite a fire for the Lord. We can ignite it here in North Long Beach. And I'm not saying that, we're not doing anything now. We are, but there's more to be done. I think anybody that lives in this area knows that there's more to be done, and there's more that we can do. And there's, as long as there's empty seats in this church, we need to grow, and we need to be the church that God has called us to be. So God has been faithful, and God will continue to be faithful. And I think that, part of that faithfulness is our faithful giving to the Lord. We don't do it because God rewards the tithe. We don't do it because we can outgive God, or you can't outgive God. We do it because all that we have belongs to God. He gave his all for you. You give your all for him. And as we are faithful to do that, God will be faithful. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, I ask that I ask, Lord, you've been faithful. You've been so faithful. But I pray that you would increase our spiritual productivity, that as we survey the neighborhoods around this church, as we survey the ministries that we can become a part of that will, Lord, contribute to the health of the body of Christ, as we look beyond our borders, as we look to areas where we can establish mission fields, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take this body and you would use it in ways that would blow our minds. Lord, you're that kind of God. But we have to have that kind of faith. And Lord, I pray that you would expand the work that you're doing here. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the work. But Lord, I know that you want to grow it. And you want to grow it for your glory. So Lord, we humbly ask as a body that you would do that. And that you would use us. And Lord, I do pray for people this morning that it's just hard for them to imagine that everything they own belongs to you. If they've given their lives to you, then it all belongs to you. And so I pray, Lord, that for people that wrestle with that, that you would work in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the things that you've shown us this morning. Help us to respond. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together? I pray that as you think through this message, think through the tremendous sacrifice that the Macedonians made, not even thinking of their own welfare, but wanting to give, that Jesus would be glorified. I pray that as you think through these things, as you think through this church and what God can do, that the bottom line is that you would evaluate what you give and that you would give in a way that is sacrificial. And if you do that, God is going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. God bless you.